This is Dial a Saint Introducing St. Thomas Aquinas. By Christ's coming to earth and his instruction to the apostles, he revealed many answers to questions which had been asked by earlier thinkers, who for many years had tried to understand God and his relationship to man. The revelations of Christ, the Son of God, provided the groundwork for the growth of a Christian philosophy. The pagan Greeks before Christ had produced two great thinkers and writers in the persons of Plato and Aristotle. Now in the 1200s, these men were being read and accepted again, or entirely rejected, to the point where Christian philosophy would soon suffer unless an effort was made to combine the best thoughts of the Greeks within the context of Christianity. Thomas was born near the town of Aquino, Italy, in about 1225 A.D., His parents were wealthy, and his father was a knight who could trace his ancestors back to the Lombards who invaded Italy after the fall of Rome. He was the youngest of four brothers and had several sisters. Once he narrowly escaped death when, during a storm, lightning struck and killed his youngest sister while both were in the same room. For this reason, there are devotions to him as a patron against thunderstorms and sudden death. At the age of five, he was sent to be educated by the monks of the Benedictine order at the Abbey of Monte Cassino, which was at the time the leading religious center in Europe. His quick mind was recognized, and when he was 13, he was enrolled at the University of Naples. Here he studied the arts and sciences for 5 years, and even began to coach some of his fellow students. But he became attracted to the preaching order of St. Dominic, which was so popular at the University of Paris, for example, that in one semester, 92 professors and students left school to be admitted. When he was 19, he was accepted and received the habit of a Dominican preacher. His father and mother were not opposed to his becoming a priest, but were against the order which he chose. They could not believe that he would take a vow of poverty while such a bright future awaited him with the Benedictines, who could keep their own possessions. Besides, if he were abbot of Monte Cassino, its revenues and influences could be used for the family's advantage. His mother decided to visit Thomas and change his mind, but when she arrived, she found that he had fled elsewhere. After several other unsuccessful attempts to see her son, she asked help from his two older brothers, who were stationed nearby with the emperor's army. They and some other soldiers caught up with him and tried to remove his habit on the spot by force, and then held him captive in a castle near his home. Here he was kept for almost 2 years while his family attempted to change his mind. His sisters tried unsuccessfully to persuade him, but his answers were so persuasive that one chose to become a Benedictine nun herself. Later, his brothers brought a beautiful woman to his cell to seduce him, but he drove her out and then burned a cross on the wall with an iron from the fireplace as a sign of victory. From that time on, he had no further temptations against chastity. One day he was able to use a rope to escape, but by then the family had accepted his determination and did not bother him any more. Thomas began his formal studies again under Albert the Great, who was recognized as the most learned man of his times. Schooling went along well, but Thomas was so quiet and his body so large that he was given the nickname of the Dumb Ox. A fellow student managed to read Thomas's class notes, and soon word spread that Thomas was not so dumb after all. His teacher invited him to a public debate to settle the matter. Thomas answered all the questions to everyone's amazement, which led his teacher, Albert, to say, quote, "You call him the Dumb Ox, but the time will come when so loud will be the bellowing of his doctrine that it will resound to the ends of the earth," unquote. He was nominated to receive a bachelor's degree from the University of Paris, even though he was 8 years younger than the required age. 4 years later, he was admitted to the licentiate, which meant that he had the right to teach unsupervised. In the same year, he was granted the master's degree, which is equal to our doctorate, and usually given when one had taught for 13 years and passed an examination of more than 100 questions on a wide range of topics. He was admired even by his enemies for his brevity, clarity, easy style, and patience. A story is told of the time when he was invited to dine with a French king, and became so lost in his thoughts to solve a certain problem that he seemed to forget his host. When the question was solved, he became so excited that he banged his hand on the table, saying loudly, "That takes care of that problem." He was embarrassed for being so rude to the king, who forgave him, and quickly sent for a scribe so that Thomas could dictate his thoughts. Thomas was interested only in matters which dealt with religious doctrine. He was not impressed by daily activities, the beauty of nature, the accomplishments of mankind, even the attraction of meals held little interest for him. He was responsible for grouping the manuscripts which he found in Rome into what is now the Vatican Library, and he was asked to construct the entire liturgy for several new feasts on the church's calendar. He wrote many commentaries on the subject of God and philosophy. His greatest work was called the Summa Theologica, or Summary of Theology, which was written to aid in the education of young students. He completed parts 1 and 2, but never finished the third, because several years before his death in 1274, he received a vision of heaven which produced such an effect upon him that he wrote no more. He said, quote, "The end of my labors is come. All that I have written appears to be as so much straw after the things that have been revealed to me," unquote. The Summa has been considered such a great educational tool that at the time of the Council of Trent, it was the only book placed upon the altar beside the Bible. The Church has honored Thomas by giving him the title of Doctor of the Church, and has recommended many times over the years that his philosophy is suitable for study and for use in education. Thomas's evaluation of his work is the best measurement of him as a saint. No matter the brilliance of one's mind, Thomas recognized that the choice to possess God and then living in his love was of far greater value than anything which man creates by himself.